let's talk about that Facebook for a second. What is standing? That means skin in the game. Okay. So I go to a restaurant, not the Iron Pig, and I go with my good friend, and he gets food poisoning and he gets sick. I sue the restaurant. Can I? No, I don't have skin in the game. Well, I was with him. He got sick.
Right.
You have to have skin in the game. Okay. So let's make it more simple. A person of race is refused service at a Coney Island in Detroit because of their race. That person, I believe, has violated the accommodation law and is entitled to damages and has Sure. skin in the game here. Let's talk about this nondescript Facebook post. Number one, it does not address a protected class.
Yep.
The law protects people, and it protects a certain type of people. And what Studio 8 said was that if you identify as something other than a man or a woman, and the law says that you were once a man or a woman and are now a different gender, that's not what Studio 8 said. But irrespective of that, it's free speech. And we start talking about non-binary. That's one of the complainants. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I have no idea. Does that mean the person has no gender? They're not a male or a female? The legislature in Michigan, if they want that to be a protected class, then go back and change the law. Okay? But even if they did, okay, even if they did, this is still protected speech. Okay? This is First Amendment, your right to air your grievances here. Now that we understand what standing is, here's this question. Who does not have standing under the claims of the state of Michigan? In other words, what about an 8-year-old boy in North Korea? Can he see the Facebook post saying that I identify as a woman, or I identify as whatever I want to identify as, and I want damages? Mm-hmm. Yes. Who doesn't have standing?
Right.
Everybody. There's nothing, no one on the planet that doesn't. Anyone that can read and write
yeah.
can see that Facebook post. So we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Anybody. I could read the Facebook post and say I identify as fill in the blank and see we're back to the definitional problems. If the definition's about whether it's a fair catch or not clear.
And consequently, by the way,
yes, right.
sorry to interrupt you,
no.
but it actually has, and I hate this word, literally been read by hundreds of thousands of people because right. it went viral and news outlets picked up on it and pushed it.
Right.
So, I mean, there have been hundreds of thousands of people that have read that very statement right there. So, yeah, where does it end?
I think the other difficulty is these new categories of sexual orientation and gender identity are important to those people. But I think that gender identity gets into an area that is the most difficult to put a glove on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that clearly you can establish a person's race and you can establish a person's religion. You know, if you researched me, you would say, okay, Dave's Catholic and Dave's Irish. You'd be able to find that out. and then gender, you know, sex under the act. Mm-hmm. Okay. You'd be able to consult with a doctor and say,
sure.
okay, which male or female? I also think sexual orientation is also establishable. Get a marriage certificate, interview their friends. Yes, they are sure. in a relationship. They have same-sex
history
marriage.
History of behavior.
Yes, right. So no question that there are people that are the same sex that are married. That's questionable. The gender identity, and I'm not saying it's not a protected class, is simply identified. And that can change anytime. I was a male, I was a female. And the point I'm trying to make is not criticizing that area, is that the legislature needs to bear down
yeah.
on that area so that we know. And so in one of the briefs I filed in this case, I have a section called No Pets Allowed. So if that sign is in a window of a restaurant and I identify as a pet, do I have a cause of action?
Right.
And none of us are being flippant here. We need clear and precise rules. Why? Because we want the Lions to win. Yes, we do, even though I'm a Dolphins fan. so we'll see what happens there. Because what's on the table here is everybody on the planet having standing, closing my client's business, making her pay fines and costs, castigating her in the press when she's saying that I followed the rules, number one, because looking at your definitions. Let's talk about that for a second. Right now in 2023, the word gender identity is not on the books. So we don't even, doesn't even apply.
Right.
They're going to say, oh, well, that's what, because on, what's on the books now? Race, religion, and sex. That's it. What does sex mean? Well, don't ask that question to the wrong person, right? You get a different answer. But what it means is male or female at birth. What's your gender? That's what it means. That's it. So that's all that's on the books. The Department of Civil Rights is saying, well, we interpret the word sex to mean gender identity. The Michigan Supreme Court didn't get to that one. They only dealt with sexual orientation, same-sex marriage. That's all they ruled on. They talked about gender identity, mm-hmm. and then the legislature adopted it. But it won't be the law until 2024. So I have a list of reasons that this case cannot be pursued by the state of Michigan, one of which, in no particular order, is that the law isn't even going to be effective until 2024. This was made in 2023.
Right.
That alone nullifies it. But number two, let's assume it's 2024 and that these definitions were on the books at the time. They don't cover what Studio 8 said. Because if a person, if hypothetically, identifies as anything other than a man or a woman, well, that's not a protected class. Mm-hmm. So that's number two on the books. Before we even get to free speech. Free right. speech defeats, if everything the state says is true, free speech defeats that because nobody was denied service. And look at Colorado. They denied service. Mm-hmm. Both of those cases won on religion and free speech. So if they can win denying service because they had free speech components and Studio 8 statements are pure free speech.
Right.
And I've already given you one of two definitional reasons that they would be defeated in this case. then the free speech prevails. Ask the city of East Lansing how that went. When a farmer's market was held and they refused to allow a business to come in and set up at the farm market. Why? Because that company posted on Facebook that they do not support same-sex marriage. And when they come into this farm group, they're going to make that clear. And the city of East Lansing said, no thanks. We're not going to give you a permit. Don't even bother showing up. That cost the city of East Lansing in December of this year $800,000 of taxpayer money. Why? And I gave you a copy of the two-page order because they violated the free speech and the freedom of religion of this business that wanted to come in. And it's no mistake that James Madison made free speech and freedom of religion number one.
Yep.
It's before guns, before the right to counsel, before anything else. It's the First Amendment. It's the most important thing to be able to speak your mind. And on a different podcast, we could go through the things that have been tolerated for free speech.
Mm-hmm.
We protect speech we hate,
yeah.
and we protect religions we're offended by. And Studio 8 has the right to speak their mind on these issues. And the state of Michigan might have a different focus on this if service was refused.
Yeah.
But remember, the baker refused and still won. Why? Because his refusal was premised on free speech and freedom of religion. We don't even have a denial in this case. We have a pure speech case. And the question for the state of Michigan and the city of Traverse City is, what are you going to tell the churchgoers in Detroit, in the UP, in Traverse City, in Gaylord, in Flint, in Grand Rapids, about their right to exercise their freedom of religion.
Right.
Are you going to take the side of religion, or you're going to get into compelling people to violate their religious beliefs? Ask the city of East Lansing how that went. Colorado was 0-2 on this issue, and why the government would pick this battle simply on a Facebook post. And I have one more comment because I know you want to jump in. I want to talk about the statute. Oh, here it is. Okay. So the Colorado statute combines denial and saying things into one statute. Michigan separates it. Michigan has a section on denial. Don't deny the protected class. And don't even talk about denying the protected class. Don't print, don't circulate, don't post. But this is 1976.
Sure.
And the internet didn't come around till the 80s, and Facebook wasn't until about 2004. So they couldn't have predicted that. But in any event, it's a free speech issue. And the statute says this: don't print anything that says, and I'm paraphrasing, that you'll deny goods and services of a place of accommodation and that it will be refused. Now, there are very, very few laws based upon will be. And I put in my brief that que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be.
Yeah.
You can't say you're going to do something in the future and it be actionable. Except the obvious, okay? You go on Facebook and you say, my ex, and I'm going to go out there next Friday and I'm going to do some harm. Imminent threats. Those are never supported.
Right.
We don't have that here. We have someone just expressing their mind. But this statute just says, in general, if you say something, if you print something that you will do something in the future, you're going to lose your license. You're going to pay a bunch of money. This whole section, which was Colorado, had the same section, and they lost twice.
Right.
So this section, not on denial, but on saying you're going to do something in the future, has never been tested in the state of Michigan. And it certainly shouldn't be tested in this area.
Interesting. You know, this whole thing, I can certainly suggest many reasons why this is the poster child for Elliot Larson and the new amendment that was added this last year, and the fervor and everything. And like I said, the post going viral and her, Christine herself being attacked online. Her store has had some damage. She had some brief picketing out by her store across the street or something like that.
By the way, exercise of their First Amendment right.
Right, exactly.
And imagine the media. That. Also, and I had to jump in. I know I've given you the floor. The media and this case is about supporting the right of the media to exercise their First Amendment right.
Right.
And they've done it. I haven't agreed with it, but they have the right to do it. And so too, those that are expressing their gender identity and those that are expressing sexual orientation share the same First Amendment right. And we want them to have that right.
Yes.
I want the judge in this case. I want the attorneys in this case. I want all the citizens in the state of Michigan and the U.S. to all exercise their rights. But their rights are no greater or no less than Studio 8's.
Right, exactly. And I think that is what is being lost in so many of these kinds of cases. Rausch World, the Cake case. There's just not equal footing. You know, they're trying to sort of play favorites, but they're forgetting that some of this stuff shouldn't even be considered, right? It's like I said, I find it fascinating the confluence of something said on social media, the new amendment with Elliot Larson here in Michigan, all of these things, and an executive branch agency that is trying to come in and punish a private business and a citizen. There's so many things that are common from this case and from the Iron Pig case, you know, with the way that people are treating her online And then the support that she is also receiving from other like-minded people, because she's not on an island by herself. She may feel like that, but she has received tremendous support for saying this online. Much in the same way that, I mean, the reason why the lights are still on and we're sitting here doing a podcast talking about these things is because of that support that came in. And it's easy to focus on the negative stuff, but the reason why I want to talk about this is to show and to shine a light on the actual sort of facts. And of course, people are like, well, it's not the facts. These are actually the facts in the case. And that's why I was thought it was compelling to play that news clip up front to show the narrative that is coming from the top down and the reason why there is so much fervor. And it's worth noting that in the rest of Studio 8's comments, she was upset about two House bills that were being considered at the time that, if my memory serves, it had something to do, again, with compelling speech regarding the use of pronouns or something to that effect.
Correct, yes.
And I don't want to put any words in Christine's mouth, but I believe that's what, and it shows in the Facebook post, but that is why I believe that she chose specifically to use the words man/woman. If you identify as anything other than a man or woman, go get services from a pet groomer.
And let me interject here. Studio 8 believes that it's not just enough to have the religious views, but to speak those religious views.
Yeah.
And she spoke them in a very forward way. And that doesn't matter. She could have not used certain terminology, but it's immaterial in this case. If you look at the history of the First Amendment, and maybe on a separate podcast, we'll do that. Some very offensive things have been said. And the courts have to allow that. We have to allow the speech, not the conduct. And so Studio 8 put their foot down about how strongly they felt about their religious views, that God created man and he created woman. And they want to espouse those views, and they have the right to, and they don't have to necessarily sugarcoat what they said. And they did not.
So where in this process, so three individuals filed civil rights complaints. You guys have filed a lawsuit locally in Grand Traverse County against the three individuals from the Department of Civil Rights and the city of Traverse City, is that correct?
Yep, and now the Michigan Department of Civil Rights
and now
has been joined.
Okay.
And I'm just getting that amended complaint back, so I'll be sending that down to the department.
So you guys are kind of in a in a briefing process, right?
Yeah, and that's a great segue question. Before I get there, I want to come right back to the guy at the bar. So now the questions are, what exactly was said? Now we know. Okay. We know we had the video of the catch. Got it. What are the rules? Now you know the rules. Okay. So this was said. It didn't violate the rules. The case ends there. But even if we gave the government its due that what was said was a violation of the rules in a vacuum, then the question becomes, does the law even apply because of First Amendment rights and religious rights? If you look at the cake case, for example, you could make the argument, now wait a minute, Colorado did not allow you to refuse service for a same-sex couple. If we stop there, Colorado wins. They're the same sex, two gentlemen. They wanted a wedding cake. You wouldn't make the wedding cake, case closed, if we were in Russia. But we're not. And so he did lose the first part. But why did he win? Because of free speech and because of religion. So before we even get to those, we know that the law doesn't even apply to this circumstance. Now, to your point, The executive branch, as we have discussed in other podcasts, is loaded with agencies. Mm-hmm. The Department of Health, the DNR, the DEQ, and at the federal level, the EPA, OSHA, and they have a local in Michigan, MyOSHA. Those agencies are in charge of enforcing the law. They're the little soldiers, if you will, of the executive branch. And in some cases, that's okay. But they cannot go too far afield. They can't write laws. It used to be that you had to get on the agency train. You did.
Right.
You went, Iron Pig had to go through the Liquor Control Commission, the Food and Beverage Regulation, which is MDARD, the Health Department, and all I could do was wait for you,
right,
for the court. And when you got to the court, you won. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has said, wait a minute. Why go through this agency? And at the federal level, it's 5 years sometimes. You are years. why are we putting these people through agency cases when the agency cannot decide questions of constitutional law?
Right.
So if Studio 8 got on the agency train and I say to them, well, wait a minute, she has a First Amendment right. They turn the other way. We don't hear First Amendment right cases. Well, what kind of courtroom is that?
Right.
So now we go right to court. Now, Civil Rights Act cases are unique, standalone of all the agencies in the state of Michigan. And that is that the Michigan Constitution has a carve out that said civil rights violation, go right to court.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't have to wait for the agency. Some would interpret that to say, no, I mean, that's just a protected class people. It doesn't say that. The businesses too, okay? We're saying that the state of Michigan and Traverse City are incorrect in this case. Traverse City never flagged a violation, but they did report this to the state agency. We want to know, Traverse City, are you going to prosecute Studio 8 or not?
Right.
We can't just have you say, not at this time. I need to know because my client in Studio 8 want to restate these things. They want to state their religious beliefs. So what we did,
believe it or not, that happened with the Liquor Commission.
Right.
They came back literally 30 days later and found me again in violation for the exact same thing that we had already gone to court for.
Well, you had one agency saying, well, I wasn't a part of that case. That was a different agency. Right. So we want to be able to knock that down. Mm-hmm. So when the case began, it drifted down to Lansing and the complaints were filed and the agency was starting to warm up. Well, we knew they were going to issue a charge. You hear they issued a charge. It's not a criminal charge. It's just an executive branch saying, we think you violated the law. And I think we've already covered why we don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
So we went right to Traverse City. And we joined Traverse City, and we joined the three individuals to say, we didn't violate any laws. They don't apply to Studio 8. This is free speech. This is freedom of religion. But even taking those things off, I'm clear in my pleadings that Studio 8 should win because the law doesn't apply for the reasons we just said. That is, both feet were in bounds. And they had possession of the ball. We got the 7 points. But what came out of this was certain hair product companies saying, we don't want to do business with Studio 8
right.
because of the heat they took. Politicians weighed in.
Mm-hmm. Several.
Government officials weighed in
yeah.
and said, you're already guilty. You committed an act of discrimination
mm-hmm.
when that never occurred in this case. And so we're asking Grand Traverse, Traverse City courts to rule on this. In the meantime, we were the first one through the door with the court. After we went to court, then the agency came out and issued formal charges. This is an act of discrimination. You saw the press conference.
Yeah.
We've already covered why we don't think, and I think it's clear from their definitions, not my opinion about what these words mean. The Supreme Court and the legislature has spoken, and they don't apply to what my client said. But even if they did, she has a right of free speech.
Right.
And she didn't deny any service. So to pick this battle, so the Michigan Department of Civil Rights said, well, we're not a party to the case in Traverse City. I said, well, okay, you are now. Now, what difference does it make? Because even if my client got on the agency train in Lansing, when they're done, where does that case go? To the location of her business or where she lives? Where is that? Grand Traverse County. The entire Michigan Civil Rights Act says that the case will be litigated in the courts in your own backyard, which is what happened to you.
Yeah.
And we want that. We want the business owners to be decided by local judges, not by Lansing. So this is just a fool's errand, if you will. And I don't mean that disparagingly toward the administrative proceeding. Why go through the administrative agency when we're going to end up in Traverse City anyway? So we have a hearing coming up in 2024 with the agency. And I'm going to tell them, and I've already told them in a brief that I filed, this case belongs in Grand Traverse County. And we have the right to go there first. The U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 already ruled on that and said, stop making these people live their life in an administrative court. That's not going to hear a constitutional question. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the separation of powers and let the judges decide these cases. And so, you know, the agency case, I'm just going to ask the judge to close it and let it go to Traverse City. We're already there.
Yeah.
Or go ahead, make your ruling. And what they're going to do is ignore my constitution, the most important rights that we all have. The First Amendment, they're not going to look at. Well, if that happened in Colorado, they would have lost.
Right.
So what are we? Why are we spending all this time doing this? So if they want to hear it, fine. I'll just wait. I'm going to stand on the sidelines and let them take their case. And when they're done, I'm going to be back in Traverse City. And we've got a hearing coming up in February in Traverse City that lays all these issues out. Let me talk about standing again real quickly. You know, if you're making a list of reasons that the state and the government can't prevail, we're on five or six now.
Right, at least.
This is again decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, not 10 years ago, not 100 years ago, in December of 2023. And the American with Disabilities Act is kind of similar to a public accommodation.
Sure.
A person in a wheelchair should be able to get into the hotel. They're a protected class and they should have that accommodation. So what was happening was a person in Florida would go on Facebook. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Look at the business webpage and determine whether or not what they saw was a violation of the ADA. So if they saw steps going up to a hotel, but there was no ramp, that would be a violation. And they would sue the hotel, never having made a reservation, never have any intention. This was a hotel in New Hampshire, U.S. Supreme Court. This person's in Florida. And all they do is sue on Facebook postings. Sound familiar, right? The U.S. Supreme Court put an end to that. It said, you don't have standing. Okay. Mm. You have no intention to ever go. You didn't try to go there. If you went there, in this old motel was up on high stairs, they'd say, you have to be able to let them into your business. And they would have been denied service and then they would have standing. Okay. But then the hotel could fight back if they can establish some defense to that. They're not going to be able to free speech or freedom of religion, but in any event. So the court said no. And the case got dismissed. And now a lot of that's going to stop. You have to actually be denied service. So another standing problem there. And I put that in my amended complaint that these individuals that were on Facebook don't read it. Yep. You weren't denied service, but they have their handout asking for a check. Number two, a place of accommodation is interpreted to mean bricks and mortar. Remember, this is 1976.
Sure.
Facebook is not a place of accommodation. There are already cases deciding that. So I don't need to make those arguments, but I just put them on the pile.
Sure.
Because I think Studio 8 wins just on the definitions alone. But even if Studio 8 doesn't prevail on any of those things, they prevail under the U.S. Supreme Court freedom of speech and also freedom of religion.